it's like that idea, those moments, and you've had them, right? Where you recognize, oh my God, this is a thorn tree moment. I am holding on to this thought and I am perseverating on it and not doing me any good. Can I just let go of this thought? Is a little bit different from when there's something that's deep inside us that we're trying to process through. We need to hold it gently as we process. We don't want to say, no, you're not there or.
Right.
Well, that holding gentle is beautiful. It is beautiful. And you guys can decide if you want to, you obviously going to look at it as an evolution and you're teaching, you will teach it as an evolution. In my mind, it's kind of different skill sets. So.
Why? That's helpful to me. So thank you. I'm glad I got your feedback on it as well.
I'm glad you brought it up. It's a beautiful, and we'll hopefully do more with that, you know, over the summer when we get into that kind of stuff. So let's kind of warm ourselves up to the reading by just kind of think about what did Kriyananda say about posture and your seat and where you should meditate and those kinds of things. And what did I call him Bhante because I can't say his last name easily. It's like Gunaratana. It's like Guna. I got Guna, but I don't got the rest. If it was Gunananda, I'd have it, but it's Gunaratana or something. Gunaratana. So anyways, I call him Bhante. It's very irreverent and I apologize to him deeply. It is in no way disrespectful, but meant disrespectfully. But so what did you see in their approaches? Did you see a lot of similarity? Did one resonate, not the other?
Karen, just real quick. If I lose you again, I'm not sure what's going on, but my power and my internet keeps cutting out. So I don't know, but I'm back right now. So I just.
And sometimes I have one of my designers lives in Hermiston in Eastern Oregon, and she's just outside the city limits, and she does it all our Zooms. She does on her hotspot on her phone. So.
Yeah. I don't know what, this isn't normal. So I don't know what.
Okay, well, if it drops, try using your hotspots.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So what did you, I'm not asking a good question. I can tell because everybody's, what do you want?
Are we answering that in a breakout group or are we answering it now?
No, we're going to do it in a big group because everybody wanted to stay in the big group. So it was definite majority. So we're going to, just free for all.
Well, I'll answer because first thing I thought when I was reading about posture is it needs pictures. Because I was like, having it written down, described, I was like, what? And I find myself like, the hand does what? Which hand touches which hand? I need a picture. Like, you know, and even when we're doing it in our group, there's verbal going along, you know, as people are describing things. So I thought that was really interesting. And I had shared with you that I think the guy whose name you can't pronounce, that book to me felt very like I was in school and there were things and there were five things. And so I'd find myself like writing those notes really like, this must be important. Cause he said five, you know, whatever in not just in posture, but all that stuff. Whereas the other book just kind of like, it just kind of like flows along and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what he's talking about. And just, it just made more sense. So yeah. So I found that if I find myself writing down the points, I'm like, I bet this is not the point.
Yeah, actually the point was what you did today, where you were mindful about what you were doing and right. Mm-hmm. The point was to expose you. Expose you. And each one of you is going to pick up a different nugget, a different something.
Yeah.
Right. And so thank you. So anybody else's, let's stay with there was a lot in there, but for right now, based on what we've done yesterday and today, when it comes to posture, when it comes to sitting, when it comes to where do you meditate, those kinds of things. Did you, was there something in there that spoke to you that you, one person's approach worked better than the other?
So one of the things that I think I was having a hard time wrapping my head around, probably the Aquarian in me is rules, of it. And, you know, picking a time of day. And I know early on you and I met and you said, you know, try to pick a time of day. And I really tried to do that. But then if I couldn't or I didn't do it, I was beating myself up. And so, and now just, I don't know, just the way life is. And when, you know, people are, we're in a small house right now and where we're going, it's, you know, I just find when I find the time. But, so I guess my question really is what is your perspective? Because I was trying to do first thing in the morning. I know what you're going to tell me. Just do whatever's comfortable. So.
Well, I'll give you a little more than that.
Okay.
A little more than that.
Okay.
Sometimes, I mean, it's good for you to know these things, but they could also really just screw up your practice. So, you know, this is ultimately do what works, but these are the suggestions. Traditionally, mm-hmm. you meditate about an hour before sunrise mm-hmm. or an hour before sunset or right at sunset, sunrise at sunset, because those are the times when the energy, the solar energy, the energies, you know, it's like you even, you know, that right before the sun sets, everything gets quiet. Even the birds get quiet. You know, it's like you're trying to tap into that moment where all of that other extra energy and distraction quiets down so you can tap into it. The problem is those rules are set up for people who live closer to the equator. And sunrise and sunset varied by, you know, you grew up in Hawaii, it varied by maybe an hour, most. I mean, you know, it's like, I had no idea it could be light at 10 at night. It's always dark by 7, you know, sometimes 6:45 and so, right? Mm-hmm. So we're here now in this, most of us are in the, you know, the northern part of the United States. Laura's a little further south, but you know, there's a time fluctuation. So how can you meditate at the same time every day if you're trying to meditate at sunrise? In the summer, you're going to be getting up at 4:30. In right. the winter, you're going to not, you're going to not be meditating until 7:30. Right?
Yeah.
So these are guidelines. And sometimes I think it's really important to remember the context that these things came from.
Right.
They were in a place where there wasn't that kind of fluctuation, right? So, okay. So time of day. Traditionally, those are the times and for the reason I gave you. Because the world is still, the world is quiet. But ultimately it's going to be, and I think Kriyananda stressed this, even though he gave you these other things, he said, you've got to find the time where you're going to actually sit and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every mom on the planet knows, get up a half hour beforehand, not happening, baby, not happening. I'm going to keep it as it is. I'm waking up when I have to, right?
Exactly.
So I think what might be really helpful then for everybody is each one of us share what are you finding is a good time for you? And I said finding because there will be point in your life where meditating when you first get up works really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
There's other times in my life where meditating right before bed was the best. And then there were periods where it was like probably around 10:30 when everybody's at school and work and everything. And I had a little time then. So I think it changes depending on what's going on in your world and in the lives of the people around you. Mm-hmm. And so it's an ongoing process. There are people who can their lives are structured in a way and they have that, whatever it is, that 5 o'clock, no matter where they are in the world, 5 o'clock a.m., they're meditating. And that's great.
Right.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I say more power to you. But what I'm trying to give you permission for, and the people who you will come in contact with, is if that's not working for you, feeling guilty and bad because you're not doing it is absolutely contrary to the whole point.
Exactly.
Right? And I spent so many years of my life feeling bad and guilty, and everybody gave me the same advice. Karen, then don't try and wake up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It works for you. But I had it in my head that if I was going to be a good yogi, I had to get up at 4 a.m.
Right. Well, to do it right, quote unquote, that's what I've had in my head for a long time.
And so this is, let's just all acknowledge that it's going to take us a while to get that out of our head. Mm-hmm. That to do it right means to do it by the rules. To do it right means to do what is right for you.
Right.
Everybody is consistent. The Bhante guy is a little more rigid about a few things, but basically you've got to enjoy what you're doing. If you're not enjoying it, you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. So find a time of day and a type of meditating that makes you feel good doing it, right? And I know we've got a little exception because right now I'm having you do Ishtar meditation and some of you aren't enjoying it. So it really is a process for you. So, which is why I gave just the 5-minute one, just the little one. And for those of you who are, your Ishtar is feeling more home, more natural, then go ahead and move on to the others, right? But so here's what I wanted to just, Steve, would you share with them what you found out about your time, best time to meditate?
What I'm finding is that the best time for me is in the evening, and it's before dinner, which is generally late for me anyway. And that's what I'm finding as far as the best time. I prefer the day to be, I prefer it to be dark. I think I know that much because the world is finally kind of shutting down again. You know, it's like it's over. So that's my time. I'll add that posture wise, I'm now working on being able to sit on my couch in such a way that I can just extend my legs out and turn to the computer slightly to the right. So.
All right. Go ahead, April. Yeah. Kathleen, does that answer it enough?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's something I figured that you were going to tell me, but I appreciate the rest of it much more too. So thank you.
So maybe for everybody, the encouragement is there is something to be said for the habit.
Right.
My habit is I don't like to get in bed unless I've sat on my cushion, even if it's just for a few breaths, just for a habit. Do I do it every night? No, but I do it. It's there. It's like if I don't do it, it's because I'm so exhausted. I can feel like it's like you don't brush your teeth, you know, it's like, oh, I feel off. And if you're looking to find a time and to make it a habit, then what we do is if you just sit for a breath, just kind of starts to build a habit. So whether that's 10 a.m. or shortly after you get up, brush your teeth, or whether it's, you know, right before dinner, whatever. If you want to build a habit, which helps that feeling of habit, is to just sit for a minute, 30 seconds, you know? So, okay. So April, I'm sorry.
A bunch of thoughts. I'm kind of in that place where work and kids and you know, all the things are making it so it's a little different every day. It's not the same time, but it's generally late morning, like maybe in between a meeting or after the kids they're kind of like finally asking anything of me, or So it tends to be anywhere from, you know, 10 to noon, somewhere in there. And because I've created a space out here, which is like, we have this like, little cottage, on our property. And so I've come out to a second place because over the years I found every place I have in the house, it just gets taken over by someone else. So I finally, even in our bedroom, like, oh, the dogs decided to lay on the Zabaton. Like, it just like, it's not his bed, but he's claimed it. She's claimed it. So anyway, I've created this space. So I have to physically remove myself from the house, you know, and come to this space, which creates its own challenges, right? Because if I say, oh, I've got 30 seconds, well, I have to walk out, you know, I use up that time to come out here. So I'm working on doing it like, sitting on the edge of my bed before bed and just doing it right there instead of sitting down. Cause I sit on a cushion normally for all my meditations. So sitting on the edge of my bed is like, all right, well now I'm sitting with, you know, my feet on the floor. And that's like a feeling of like kind of relating to other people of how the people who sit in chairs. So I am using that as a mini practice. So that's kind of how I'm, and to be honest, this, when I'm doing the snack time meditation, I'm like, that gets me out here. It's like that, right? It's like, it's almost becoming habitual in that way, you know? And so anyway, that's just kind of a little aside, but, okay. So then on to the meditations, like my Ishta is really strong right now, this new Ishta. And so I'm just going to admit it. Like there are sometimes I come out here and I'm like, she's right here. Here's my Ishta. So I don't do the Ishta meditation and I'm yearning to do a different one. The pull, a desire to do a different meditation is there. And so I do something else, but I always bring my Ishta. So I do, even if it's just a mini, within a few breaths, I have my Ishta. So, you know, that I'm not doing that right.
let me say this then for everybody. Everybody's at a different place with their Ishta. Right. And for very, very good reason, right? And so if your relationship with your Ishta, if you feel solid, if it's real, if it's there, and you just want to sit and go into Hangsar or do something else, then that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. That's what I've been doing, but I wasn't sure I wanted to admit that.
No, but this is, thank you for doing it because it's that authenticity, right? And other people may be having the experience of, you know, I'm just, you know, if you've come in with a lot of baggage around these kinds of things, it's going to be a process. It's a little slower getting to know you. So that little Ishta smile meditation, you probably know it by now. You don't even have to listen to it. You can just try and do that for a couple minutes. And then do Hangsa or do a pranayama if you feel like it. But honor where you're at. And so I appreciate the question. And I know, hopefully by the end of this first trimester, right, none of you will be saying, I was afraid I was doing it wrong. That won't come out of your mouth anymore. You're going to feel comfortable being really authentic with what your experience is.
Well, and I have these little sticky tabs, and whenever I have a question in the book, I stick it in there. So, and this one, I have lots of ideas and thoughts, and this one, I've got one because this book is like Brenda said, it's kind of like very textbook. It's more, it's got a sterility to it. You know, it's kind of like, there's a lot of things I like about it. But anyway, that's enough. I'll say about that. But this one, I'm just like, I love this man. there's a specific question. Okay, so he says in here, it's on page 53, and he says, he talks about in the Western posture is that is most important is sitting in a chair facing east or north, and I face north. And then he says, place a silk cloth with a woolen blanket on top of it over the chair. Let it drape to the floor where your feet will rest. This isolates your body currents and inhibits psychic interferences from thought forms around you in the astral and, more importantly, in your lower subconscious mind. So I was really fascinated by that.
Thank you. Okay. So I was wondering if anybody's going to ask about that. So Lisa, you too? All right. So this is not the Buddhist tradition. In the yoga tradition, and when we get back to talking about the evolution of these different schools that are really present in the United States at this point, there's the Kriya Yoga, which was brought by Paramahansa Yogananda. He was born in the 1880s. So he brought it in like the 19-teens, 1920s. He started coming into the West, and he brought this ethos, which was, when you sit to meditate, you first put silk between you and the currents of the earth, because the silk doesn't absorb the current. But on top of the silk, which is protecting you, and this is for if your mind is really, really scattered. And I have to say, I think for some of you in the beginning, sometimes these little rituals can actually be really helpful. There's just something. So that you just get a piece of silk. If you sit on a chair, then the silk goes over the back of the chair, the seat, down to the floor and under your feet. So you need a good long length of silk, right? You can go to a fabric store and get it. If you're sitting on a floor, then you just need a piece of silk the size of your zabutan or your blanket, you know, right? And the idea of the silk is it's protecting you from the vibrations of the earth, which if your mind is really scattered, it might, you know, affect you. The wool, on the other hand, I can't reach my wool. The wool is absorptive, and it absorbs your vibration. And so what happens is if you have a wool blanket that you put on top of silk that you sit on, then that begins to absorb your vibration. And then every time you go to sit in your spot, it's kind of like, it becomes like your favorite chair. It has your vibration. It has that good feeling of your meditation that it's absorbed. And so when you sit, it brings you, it's like another cueing in meditation. We do these little things to help us anchor in quicker. And so you sit there and you enjoy it and it feels good. And I'll be honest with you. I have a wool blanket. It used to be in the centers. I used it for years and years and years, probably a decade. But then I wanted something else. It was like, I didn't like the colors anymore. It was the only thing I could find at the time, but I wanted different colors. So I took the blanket to the center, and for the years it was at the center for people to use. And it's now in my house, but I still look at that blanket. And my heart is like this, because it's got the vibration of all those decades and years of me meditating or other people using it. So I don't do it anymore, but it might, for some of you, it might just help your mind, give you a structure, especially if like you're meditating in a place like, and I'm not saying this, Ramon, I know you're in your office, right? And so if it's an office space that there's something you want to do just to say, this is my meditation time, you can just take out that piece of silk or that piece of wool and put it under your feet or under your bottom. And it helps to shift out of work mode into meditation mode. So that's what that's about. That's what that's about. And it's, I haven't seen it in any of the Buddhist traditions, but I've definitely, I think there's a little bit of a ritual and structure around that can be helpful. The other thing I'm going to mention, because you brought it up, is the reason for meditating And I need to tell you this, you can get hung up on this one. So if it starts to hang you up and you can't find a spot, then let it go, because I am now living in a house where I don't have a good spot to face east. If you are lucky enough to be in a house where your meditation spot in the morning faces east to the rising sun, mind you, depending on where you are on the earth, the sun can go like this, right? When you were in these areas where this came was a little closer to the equator, so there wasn't that variation. But the idea is that you're waking up, and there's a symbolism and an energy to face the rising sun as you meditate. At night, you face north. You face the pole star. You face north. It works when it works. I've lived in houses where it worked. And then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then it just balled me up and it got me all, because I'm not facing you. And I'm watching my husband sit there doing his Buddhist shit. He didn't care what direction he faced, you know? And I kind of went, maybe it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like, don't get balled up. So, Lisa, yeah.
Personally, everything in me is resisting all the rules because I lived by rules. And so I don't have a special place. I mean, I have this where I come, but it is my office. But I'm really trying to be able to find my seat in the midst. I got a job at a food cart, and even in the trailer, I'm like, okay, find my seat and take a few minutes, because I don't have a time and I don't have a place and I'm not getting organized. And I used to be so, I don't even know, anally retentively organized to the minute with my kids. And so something in me is making me do this a different way.
Unmute. Is that a problem?
Well, I was just holding it because my heater is going.
Oh, but my question to you is there a problem with that?
No, I just see, well, it's very important. It's very important. It's very important. But even when I was practicing Christianity all the time and everyone's like, oh, you need to have your little prayer closet and it needs to be like, I don't know. I resisted that too, but this is like, I can't even try to get organized. I am trying all my techniques and everything is working against me. And so I have to let that go. And so I'm really trying not to look at these. You have to, and you do this. And when I saw that silk piece, I went, oh no, not happening. You know, it's like, I don't know. That's just me. I'm probably rebelling against a lot of things right now.
And maybe it's time to rebel, right? I think one of the things in Kriyananda's book, there's a season, there's a time for everything. And when we're breaking out of the rules and we've been so repressed, the breaking out is a good thing. Rebelling against it. Let me think for myself. I'm not going to do it. And then we come back into balance, because there are some things that it works for us to do. But at that point, you come back because you're doing it because you want to. And I think that was what I was trying to say yesterday. And one of the reasons I've kind of introduced the readings the way I have is to really get it across that, yeah, there are rules. There are rules. But it doesn't mean there are rules for you. I mean, these are, you're in a meditation teacher training. So it's good for you to know that these are the way people do it. These are the things people say. But what's different about our training is that, you know, I've just learned that what's most important, and they all say this, but they say it in between all the rules. But so I have to believe that this is true because it's working, which is that you still have to find what works for you. You still have to find what works for you. And I'll say it one more time. And you get to find what works for you. So Lisa, I'm going to encourage you to bring in, you will be our member who is part of our Sangha, who is, it doesn't even have to be a defiant rebellion. It's I'm finding what works for me. And each week we just want to hear what worked for you this week. And own it. And there's nothing wrong. It's a beautiful affirmation of you stepping into who you are and discovering that. And your way will be to not work with the rules. For somebody else, it may be all about, let me find the silk in the wool. And we want to hold space for all of that, for all of us to be able to do that. Does that? Yeah. So Brenda, you had something. Yeah.
A couple of things. I think that the shift for me has been when I first started coming to your classes years ago, I had the preconceived, there's got to be a right way to do this. So I spent most of the first few classes going, well, this is not working. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I'd open my eyes to see what everybody else was doing, you know, and learning over the years that, especially as a parent, that meditation for me has evolved to when I can grab the breath. When, you know, I think that's why when I was describing to my group that for me, find the seat is just take a breath, because I have to do that all day long in order to get the moment. Uh-huh. So I let go of the idea that my meditation time is a certain spot and a certain time and a certain thing. It's what's really funny is right now I have a new electric toothbrush that runs for 2 minutes, and it's very like therapeutic. Like the thing is vibrating in my mouth. It's like really weird because I've never had one before, but I close my eyes. I swear I'm like having 2 minutes of meditation while I brush my teeth, you know, like, and that's success to me. And it took me a long time to get to the point where that would be okay. And now the shift has gone more from, I want to work on building more of a habit and more of a set schedule, just because I think it's just evolving for me to want to do that rather than I have to or I'm supposed to, if that makes the difference, if that makes sense. So I'm working on not just doing the more deeper meditation, you know, when I show up on Monday night. Like I want to do it more in between because it's just important to me. But it had to come to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't stress enough for each one of you, if you are not the, I'm up at 5 a.m. meditating and it works for me every day to have that structure. If you're not that person, then know that it will shift. And you may get a 2 or 3 month stretch, you know, over the summer, whatever's going on, and you get a good half hour meditation in the morning and it was easy and it happens. And then fall comes, everything changes and you find another time. But your periods of the sustained showing up little bit because you enjoy it, because it made you feel calmer or made you feel better. That's the ground. That's the foundation. You will have periods where you'll have longer periods of meditation. You'll be able to dive into a technique day after day after day after day, and you will make a different kind of progress. But I think for us, think about it, these rules came down when people had one job their whole life. What do they say now? Everybody's going to have at least 5 different jobs. So maybe you'll have at least 5 different patterns to your meditation. I think it's just part of our time. And for us, the wisdom is to recognize those are the way it was. And if you have that personality, that lifestyle, more power to you. But this is my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And this is how I'm going to do it. So I find those moments where I can enjoy a brief meditation or a longer meditation, you know. So a little repetitive, but that's how powerful these thoughts are. That I could be meditating for 15 years and still feel that I wasn't getting up at 4 a.m., that I was not doing it right. Took 15 years before I let that fucker go, you know? So let's say this as much as we need to say it to help you, give you permission to find some joy. And it's like Brenda, it's just that moment. Good job. So here's what I'd like to do, because we're getting 9:35. I do want to get into what did you like about the readings? What are some, talk amongst yourself about, like, I know Steve, it was just, there was stuff. It was just yummy and confusing and questions. And for all of you, let's just open up the floor and bring in what you want to talk about that you found fascinating. And if you have questions, obviously great, but, I want to make sure we have time for that. Kelsey, go.
So it's not unattached to the conversation we were having, because I'm right in there with everyone else of like learning to just be okay with what I get. But I just, that's why I like Kriyananda so much, is he was such a balance to the strict, like, this is what we're doing and this is when and this is how. I just, especially, I don't remember in which chapter it was, but I just felt like there was this theme of, like, just such a slow build. You know, he talks about if you can sit for one breath, great, get up, it's over. Like, that sense of enjoyment in everything and, like, only sitting for as long as it's something that's joyful is such a radical concept for me, because this whole time I've been thinking, like, okay, I've committed to these 10 minutes. I have to sit here for 10 minutes and I'm not allowed to move. But to just have permission to be like, okay, I'm done. This is, we're moving on. Was so relieving for me.
I got that same sense, Kelsey. And I had, like, I just underlined and starred these certain passages. And this was earlier on in the book. And it relates to what we were talking earlier. This on 24, page 24 and 25, he says, what are you trying to accomplish with your meditation? The answer must be clear in your mind. Stop right here. Do not go on. Stop and think. I loved that. I felt like, to me, I felt like that summed, like that answered so many questions to me. Like, oh, just ask yourself that. Like, no matter where you are, no matter what I'm doing, just what am I trying to accomplish here? If I can get that, I just loved that. The simplicity of that question is so powerful. And then he says, he talks about all the different planes, the astral plane, the earth plane, the Bardo plane. And then he says, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, higher plane, lower plane, inner or outer plane. Spirituality is the ability to adjust to yourself and your environment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, this man's so brilliant. Like that, it's so simple. Like I don't know. I think sometimes we forget, we think of spirituality as these big complex machines of beliefs and he's just kind of like washed that all away. Like it all goes right back into here. What's our intention? How can we show up? And anyway, that's what I got out of the reading.
You know, to go with that, one of the things I highlighted was he says, quit being so terribly judgmental. It says the answer is to quit making life a courtroom. And that, yeah, resonated so much with me. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly judging myself constantly. So.
You're muted, Lisa.
I keep muting because the dog's barking. I particularly loved just his connection with the breath. When we focus on the breath, we become mindful of all of the universal nature of all beings, because all living beings breathe. And then he like put all these different factions of you know, religious faiths and rich, poor, conservative, liberal. And I just spent I felt this sense of uniting, and that I don't think I've ever heard it that way. So when I'm feeling angry or frustrated with something else in my world, that's a living, breathing thing. And I am like that. We have that all in common. So that really struck me. And should I keep going?
Yeah, It's like, I think people are waiting for me. I'm not going to talk. I want you
okay.
to talk to yourself, unless you have a specific question for me.
No, I think I had to, the Bonte, mm-hmm. this one, I had to pick up, put down, struggled a bit more, although there was something, you know, half the time I'm like, what? But there was a piece where I struggled with some of the terms like aggregates and, I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, huh? I'm like, is this an economics book or, but, and maybe the old fashioned, that, you know, fetters, I'm like a fetter or clinging, but the restlessness worry, I put a little note. I'm like, okay, like at bedtime, I'm like, yeah, that's me. Right. And how that cycle just starts going and running. So there was something that I could identify with, in several pieces of it, of like, oh yeah, do that. But it felt a little bit more like, I think Brenda, you were saying like, list, write it down. Not like the breath thing I wrote down is because I want to remember that. Mm-hmm. And then the other book was like, oh yeah, I do that. I'm, it's another fault, right? So like, look, even how I talk about it, I noticed that I kind of lift on the one hand and then the other more structured. Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I have fetters. I have hair. I have, you know, I have bile. I'm like, I'm like,
yeah, the 32 parts of the body. I was like, what?
I'm like, gross. But then I'm like, oh, wait, that's judgmental. But so it's just, and then I had to go, was that the point? Like, was that the point, Karen? You know, but you don't have to answer that. But interesting to notice my own personal reaction to two different styles or however they're presented. It's the same information, just, I guess, being delivered in a very different way. I'm looking for teacher feedback for sure.
Okay, if you want teacher feedback, ask a specific question. Otherwise, I'm actually tempted to take myself out and put my little picture up. So you guys just talk amongst yourselves. Because there's just to hear what each other loved or what you know, is, I think, really valuable. And if you have a specific question, I'll answer it. But otherwise, I'm going to put myself out of the picture so you guys talk. You have a specific question or?
Nope.
Okay. Well then guys, look what I'm going to do. Bam.
Okay. Now that she's gone, I'll go. No, just kidding. One of my favorite things that I really spoke to me was the story about the raft and the yogi that was on the mountain waiting for the other guy. And it's like, how many times have I left a situation carrying my raft or, you know, whatever it was I needed for that situation and thinking I'm going to just make it better the next time or even go back and go, dang, that river was really hard to cross. I'm going to build a raft right now that can cross that river and add that to my pile and keep moving forward. And it's like all these like mountaintop experiences I'm not getting to because of all these maladaptive behaviors that I'm dragging behind me. So that really struck me. I really liked that story. Anyway.
Which next? Which book
was
that in?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was in the Kriya Yan. That was in this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was just trying to remember. I find it interesting that I really liked this book and you guys are all struggling with it. I mean, I liked this one too, but it's so funny to me, but. Anyway, I heard it upstairs, so somebody else go.
It's funny you should say that because I found the same thing. I've been listening to Kriyananda for years, tapes and some of his books, and I love his style, but I also need instruction. I also want to be told, you know what, you're sitting the wrong way, you should be doing this. And then I can aspire to that. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but I can say, hey, you know what, let me try to sit more comfortably or let me sit up straight. Let me get my back straight. Let me put my feet the way they are and then see how that works. But it's just different methods. So I like instruction. I like being told what to do. And again, I have the choice of whether to accept it or not, right? But I'm going to aspire to it if that's the way people are saying. If folks are saying 5 a.m. is the best time to do this, then I'm going to try it a couple of times at 5 a.m. I'm going to get up and see, hey, maybe this does work. Maybe it doesn't. I'll try it, but I like to have that information. So I did like this book as well.
Yeah.
I'll echo that as a Capricorn, perhaps. I mean, so this book was like lists out and everything like that. There is one thing about the beginning and the postures is he said it's possible to attain enlightenment quickly. And I love that he just put that hope out there. So it's sort of like, oh, if you follow these rules, and the difficulty, this will happen perhaps more quickly.
Yeah.
And then Greenaldo's is just like a conversation to me.
Yeah.
Like, read it. Like for me, it spurs on all these like different memories and different things. So I end up like writing like in the margins, like just triggers, of happy times or of like this reminded me of this or that. And so, it's sort of like he's a friend. Whereas this is the how I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
Little nuggets. Well, definitely many, but two that I wrote down. So one of them was, and it's interesting, April, because when you're talking about the, you know, thinking about your intention or, you know, whatever the word was. But then in the same author also said, you do not meditate to get something. You meditate to rid yourself of negative thoughts, emotions. And I put et cetera, probably because I didn't want to write it all down. So we think of like, I'm going to do this so I can gain something or get something, but it's really about the letting go of things. So I thought that was really fascinating as something to sort of just think about. And then the other one is just a weird, like, again, like a line or a story will click with you. I have really been struggling with like just eating whatever I want to eat and like not really taking very good care of my physical body, which has got a whole story in itself. But there was this little thing about, you know, when we crave a hot fudge sundae, and we create this whole story about like, well, we got to get in the car and go to the store. And then, oh, darn, I bought a hot fudge sundae. You know, like we make excuses to get the hot fudge sundae. And that is so me. So it was encouraging to like think about what is joyful about the hot fudge sundae and like use that as part of a meditation on the feeling that you get from having it. Because to me, it's not about the hot fudge sundae. I mean, it's about, it's going to fill up or it's going to make me feel better somehow, right? Because we always got medicated with food. And so that has just been huge this week, actually the last couple of weeks, and just that really stuck with me. So I still have had my little indulgences, but there's been times that I've stopped and just been like, okay, well, that feels better just to think about it and like really get with that sensation of it.
Oh. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah.
I read that. When I read that part, Brenda, too, you know what I thought of? I thought of this could be the answer for addiction, you know, like when people are struggling with addictions, it's generally they're craving something outside of the thing that they're addicted to, right? There's a craving there for connection, for safety, for you know, all different things. And like when I read that, I instantly thought of addictions, like a meditation could you know, be the tool using that technique to overcome. Anyway, it's a Karen question perhaps in the future, but
well, I thought the answer for you. I mean, I previously had a problem, you know. I don't like to call myself an alcoholic, but yes, because I feel like it's a label, but yes, I was addicted to pain medication and alcohol. And when I gave that up, I thought my life was over and I had no joy. And until I found meditation, I didn't. So anyway, Sorry.
No. And I, you know, I worked, I've been a Weight Watcher member for years, and I worked for them for 4.5 years. So what's interesting to me about this is that of all the little things that I was taught to help other people, you know, handle their food and, you know, and had it incorporated into my own life, to be able to read like one little story in this book and go, wow, you know, cause we would like have to dance in a corporate kind of thing. You have to kind of dance around the meditation part because it will rub some people the wrong way. So the company had just started kind of integrating these ideas, but you have to call it something else. You have to, I don't know, like pair this and, you know, whatever. And it's like to be have that freedom that I don't work for them anymore and be able to just go, well, this makes sense to me. So
that's awesome. Good for you.
I've been thinking too, as we're talking about this, like the power of the mind to kind of recreate these sensations.
Yep.
Like we don't actually need the physical things. And it's amazing how even just sitting and thinking about them can kind of create those same feelings or whatever we get out of it. But it's just such a powerful tool.
Yeah. This book seems like it's kind of split. You know, some of us are like loving it. Some of us are like, a little harder, but I have to tell you guys, I did find it harder. Because it felt like it was really more rigid. And, but there's this little part that I starred because he was going through all these steps, key points for overcoming laziness. And the last one, he says, if none of these techniques work, practice loving friendliness for yourself and nap for a few minutes. And it just was a funny juxtaposition for all of the other kind of seem, you know, more kind of rigid, this is how you do it. And then that was to wrap that up with that. I just thought it was great. So
yeah, so
there are points in this book that I really enjoy.
Right. His main key, right? Attachments and resistance. That's what gets us. And that's what I've been trying to focus on every day. Or when something comes up, am I attached to this? Why am I resisting it? Asking those questions.
I wanted to bring up something that I've just been thinking about over the last couple weeks, because one of my resistances to just all of this work has been like, how does this fit in with like social justice? And like at points I just feel so privileged, you know, to be able, like even the Buddha was like a wealthy man who just stepped in and was like, oh, there happens to be suffering out in the world. And so sometimes I struggle with like, how does this fit into like the way I want to see the world change and the work that I want to be done? And it's just, I don't know. I had this moment of thinking like, it's not saying to get rid of all of those things, but it's more about how can I recognize that I do want those things in life. I do want those things for our world. And like, I won't be dragged around by my emotional reactions. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of rambling, but like when scary or bad things are happening, it's like, how can I be there and recognize what's going on and not let my emotions like just drive me and determine either shut me down or like get me angry at someone, or basically just get in the way of doing what I want to be doing. Because that's something that's a real struggle for me, is like, I feel so emotional all the time and everything just feels like it hits me in the heart. So to be able to like have some space so that I can actually do what I want to do, I feel like that's maybe my ultimate goal with some of these things. And I don't know if anybody else relates to that, but something I've been
thinking. Can I ask a question? Because I don't know if I'm understanding you correctly, but do you feel like you have to take on, like fix everyone?
Yeah, that's definitely something I struggle with, like personally and just in the world in general, you know, it's like, I'm sure I'm not the only like very empathetic person here. And it just, any suffering is like, I need to do something to fix this.
But you So this is just only my experience because I've been there, but usually it was because I was avoiding something inside of me. Mm-hmm. So if I could fix somebody, my kids, right? I have four kids. If I could focus on what I needed to fix with them, then I didn't have to.
Yeah. That's a big one for me. It's like, how do I refocus the lens back on myself rather than just keeping it focused outwards?
So I think that's a really nice moment to come back in and just, this is why we're here, right? This is what's different about this meditation journey is that it all comes back in here. It all comes back in here. And the beauty of doing this, and it's work at times. It is work at times. But this process, and we're using mindfulness right now because it is a key skill we need to be able to make friends with, just to be present with what's going on inside us. Because if we're not aware of what's going on, we can't address it. We can't deal with it. And we can't learn how to manage the energies. You know, if something is coming in and it's causing us suffering or discontent, the Buddhist word would be suffering. Kriyananda's word is unbalanced or unbalanced because I don't know how to handle the energy. And so it's knocked me off balance. And this whole process is learning how to find our balance and keep our balance. And unlike in the world where it's about getting physically stronger, you know, practicing, you know, tree pose or, you know, learning how to surf the big waves, it's not that kind of balance. It's finding that awareness of what is going on within me. And as somebody said earlier, it's not about getting calmness, getting equanimity, getting love. It's not about getting it. It's about getting rid of the fear, the feelings of I'm not worthy, the feelings that I don't matter, getting rid of the anxiety and the panic, getting rid of the judgment and the self-loathing, getting rid of those. And what's left is your natural birthright, they might say, which is the equanimity, the calm, the wisdom, the clarity to see what's there. So this is a path into this realization of who you are when you aren't these other things. And there's nothing wrong with these other things. Let's be clear about that. There's nothing wrong. You, and I'm going to just, I'll keep saying this on this course because, oops. Sorry. I don't know where my phone is to turn it off. Okay. There we go.
Uh-oh.
Oh, honey, I meant to turn it off. I'm in a class.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Bye. That's the second time I've done that. I think I'm saying, hang up and it answers anyways. That was my grandson and my daughter. Anyway, what was I saying? I was saying something really important.
We're letting go of things.
We're letting go of things. A realization. The realization. You have the realization of who you are. That these things are inside you. And what I will say again and again in this class, and I'm not asking you to believe it in any way, shape, or form. I'm asking you to try it on for the duration of this course. Just try these concepts on, that you chose this. You chose to incarnate on the earth at this moment in time so that you could practice different skills. You could practice and get stronger, get wiser, become more loving. And all the things that are happening to us, which we'll talk about this later, we would call karma. Important thing to remember is karma is not a punishment. It's not it's not anything wrong. Karma just is, it's literally just cause and effect. And when we come into the earth plane, we have chosen the karma we want to experience. And I don't expect you to understand this one, but just write it down. You've chosen the karma you want to experience because it's the easiest way to learn what you came to learn or to build the skill that you came to build. Did you come to become wiser, more loving, more forgiving? And this is I'm not asking you to believe. Kriyananda said this one. He said, believe it or not, because I'm over like, okay, dude, I've been molested. I've been raped. You go down the fucking list, alcoholic home, growing up a minority, da, da, da. You know, it's like, really? This is the easiest way to do this? And I think it's kind of like, really? So I don't expect you to get it right away. It's kind of like Agnieszka said in the beginning. I'm a little confused about this idea, Karen, right? It's like, but just tuck it back there. There's something that we are going to discover as we navigate all of this. Your anxiety is a gift. The panic is a gift. And I can sit there today and say what the experiences I had, I look at them now and it's because of them that I am stronger and I am kinder and I am wiser without judgment. Right? So this is all to say, we're each here to have an experience, and I'm going to ask you to hold that thought as we do this, that you are not a victim here, and it feels like a victim often, doesn't it? It feels like we're victims. But I'm going to ask you to say, okay, what is this teaching me? If I choose not to be bitter and angry and what is the word? Cynical. If I don't want to become bitter and cynical and angry and judgmental, and if I don't want to be all those things, what is it that as I move through these experiences, what am I becoming? What am I becoming as a result of these experiences? Maybe that's our question for next week, is think about that. What are you becoming? Or what could you become? I mean, some of you are in the middle of some really intense stuff, right? So it's maybe not even about what am I becoming right now. Right now, I'm just trying to breathe, right? I'm in the water's flowing. I'm just trying to keep my head above and breathe. But to follow with that analogy, but as I'm doing this, I am becoming a stronger swimmer. I am becoming strong enough. I can swim in the little surf at Ala Moana Beach. I can swim in the 6 to 8 foot surf. I can swim in the 20 foot surf. What am I becoming as I am going through these situations in my life? If it's not bitter, if it's not angry, if it's not judgmental, if it's not cynical, if it's not depressed, if it's not anxious, if it's not confused, what are you becoming? What is the potential that you could be, that you could become? And so I just wanted to kind of interlude here and recognize that every one of us is in a different journey, but this is a really sacred journey. And this is why there's small group in this class. Most people don't want to do this. Most people don't want to do this. And who can blame them, right? You're all here because some part of you knows that, you know, it may be hard, but it's going to be better. It's already a little bit better, right? And so I'm going to just keep doing this because if it just keeps getting better, if I get stronger, if I can be more kind, if I can be less judgmental, if I can get along better with my family, with my coworkers, there's something worth it here. And we start there and eventually we get to an experience of who we are that nobody can take away from you. Nobody can take away from you. You've had it. You know it, right? So, I do want to just hear, Steve, you didn't say anything. You had so many thoughts about the readings.
I did.
Share one of your thoughts. Share something that struck you or.
It was all pretty confusing overall. It was dense. It was confusing. My inclination was to try to map out the various, the first thing is, yes, I'm sinew, I'm bone, I'm gas, I'm air. And, you know, that little analogy and try to diagram that out. And then these other various lists of tenants and all these different things and trying to sort of sort through them all.
What lists are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. What lists? Which book are you in? I'm going, holy shit, did I give you something to read that I didn't want you to read?
Oh, I'm sorry. The various ways that these all of these things are listed by these people. By lists, I mean these characteristics, these features, these lists of for example, mental laziness or torpor. Ill will, sloth, and torpor. Just, I guess what I'm trying to say is...
Tell me where that is. Which book is that in and what page?
That's page 10, chapter 10 of Bonte, under the hindrances.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. I'm with you.
So, for example, the five hindrances. And then it gets to desire...
What page is it, Steve?
Yeah, it's 94, right? Or no, wait. No, I'm in the wrong chapter.
It's 127. Oh, dealing with distraction?
Desire, ill will, sloth. Oh, I see it. Yeah.
I'm not seeing it, guys. Somebody, I have this book right here. Which page?
Yeah, page 127.
But that
way down, it says desire as a hindrance. Desire means more than just clinging. And then you flip over to the next page and he's got ill will, and then sloth and.
Karen, I think yours is different.
Karen, I think this is a reading list confusion issue.
Yeah.
You have because just mindful
and plain English. I was wondering about that because this is the book that, oops, here, hang on. Let me turn off my.
Oh, shit. So you guys have the four. I've been going from mindfulness and plain English and you're doing the four foundations.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what you gave us in the reading list.
Yeah.
Was this one.
You know, I was confused early on because I saw an email and I thought, oh, well, maybe she just didn't type that right. But because your first email said this book, so I went with this. Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I had, mindfulness in plain English. But I, in the book, in the list I told you to buy, I said, get the four foundations.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Hold on. I have the email.
So there it is.
Will we all be really excited? Yeah, that we're
it's the four foundations of mindfulness in plain English.
Yeah.
Same
author. Yeah. In fact, on the front cover, it says author of mindfulness in plain English.
Okay, guys. I am so sorry. I meant this. There is no way this list Steve is reading is I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I would never have imposed that on you. Oh my god. Well, that explains the problem.
Yeah, we've read about 7 chapters of this book.
I enjoyed it. But yeah, okay.
So everything I thought you were, this is gentle. This is a gentle book. This is not a, No sloth mentioned. No torpor. Oh my God.
Well, this makes so much more sense now, because even I think it was yesterday we were talking about, like, Ramon and I were talking about, like, you know, we weren't told to read the introduction, just the preface, but man, the introduction is what explains everything. Like,
right. So, yeah. Like,
and the introduction in this book.
Yeah. Because we didn't.
The preface is like that. It's like nothing. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. This explains the problem. I will get that book, which is on my bookshelf, and I will probably be mortified as I read what I told you to read.
Yeah, because you had us read a chapter all about death. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about that one, too, but it actually came at a very good time. So I don't know, Karen. It may have been good timing.
So that's why, like, that's where I came up with this. And other folks were talking about the sinew and the teeth and the hair. So that's why I was beginning to feel like kind of this disembodied beast, like skin and hair and teeth and sinew. And
it's about posture. It's about how to sit. It's about how not to.
No wonder I was kidding. I literally, at our break, I went downstairs. I'm like, she's talking about posture, and I think I read the wrong readings because okay. I'm thinking about my nails and my hair. And
well, they did. There was a whole thing on the full lotus and the lotus. There was little bits about posture. I was like, okay, yeah. That must be what she's talking about. But yeah. But look at us. We're such dutiful students, Karen. We did exactly what you told us to do. All of us.
Here's what I want you to do. I want each one of you to right now go into the chat and write your address in the chat, okay? I'm serious, and I'm going to mail you.
Oh, Karen.
No, we're not going to do that. I'm going to buy my
I have this book.
Okay. That's interesting. I was going to ask early on about, was there a difference? And I was like, well,
It's like, she just left it at the core.
This is actually becoming more and more funny because when I first started, I was sure I found out from Darcy that I was reading the wrong book, which was not that it was this one. I was in some other thing because it also says beginners on it. And I just like picked up my beginners. Read this one and I was not matching up chapters at all. And I was like, this is so messed up. So Darcy got me all sorted out and I'm pretty sure she held up this book. So, because we were texting back and forth about the right one. So this is actually very comical. Because in my attempt to clarify, we still didn't get it right.
Well, we're going to figure out the good news here, but certainly this will be really pleasant. Because that is not the book I wanted you to read. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is the book, and this is a book the other class had, I thought. So, all right.
I've got Amazon Prime, and mine, I just ordered it. It's coming tomorrow. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Throw mine right now, too.
All right. I want to say something.
What was that, Agnieszka? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that you said we're going to get something good about it. So when I was reading this, I felt so self-judgmental and like, oh my God, I told you that in our private conversation. And now it's a big mistake. So me being judgmental is always a big mistake. So I feel kind of relieved.
This is showing you the side we don't want of meditation. You've just all experienced that, right?
Right.
I remember I was talking to Ramon and he said something about the aggregates and I thought, shit. Aggregates? Is there somewhere in there they're talking about aggregates? They shouldn't be talking. I figured it had to be just a mention.
Oh no. That's a whole chapter.
I can show you my pages of notes that I took on the 7 this and the 5 that and the, yeah.
Hey, Karen, I can tell you this from someone who reads a lot of books. It wasn't a mistake. I think you learn something from every book. Every perspective you get is a different perspective. I read books sometimes that I've read that this woman gave us a book. She was a Buddhist. She gave us this book and I was just like horrified by what I read it. And I was just like, I can't, I finished it because I said I was going to finish it, but I was just like this. But then I see it coming back in different ways, a different perspective. And it's just,
really?
It's just one, it's just a perspective that everyone, someone has going to have to say the same thing a different way. And whatever stays with you is what stays with you. But it's okay, I think, to reach, you know, shit from other places. I mean, it's all good, you know?
It's all good, but this, the death, the sinew, that whole impermanence, all of that, that's like.
that's all relevant though. Impermanence is part of this, is part of the attachment, right? We're all talking about, it's all the same thing. It's all the same.
The part on death, the chapter on death, like I had all these little, you know, notes, and one of them that he said, it was a little nugget, and he said that death has three moments, a rising moment, a living or peaking moment, and a moment of cessation, right? And he's talked about that, or that's life for every living thing. And I'm like, oh, that's the breath. Like the breath is always a metaphor, right? I mean, you've got the inhale, there's the pause, the exhale, like, so I was just kind of like finding ways to make it work. And it did. That was a beautiful moment. Yeah.
Well, April, I don't remember reading a chapter on death. Am I now? I'm really confused.
Death's impermanence.
The thing about, yes, and he says in here, nothing is permanent. That, like, it was huge for me.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's huge. I think that's a big concept to grasp. I mean, that's, everything is impermanent. I mean, that's.
Right. Yeah. It was
huge. Who moved my cheese, right? They wrote a whole book about that for the business world, right? It's impermanence, man, you know?
But Karen, it's also like this, it's, you told us to pick up a book. The first thing that I picked up here was the lady who was so mortified because she went to do a presentation and there was like no translation.
Oh.
Isn't it, you know, you didn't even, because of this whole, I didn't even get to finish. I hear I thought I was
almost done.
I mean.
I'm so glad I stopped you though, because I was so, okay, so finish whatever you were going to say.
Maybe it's, I don't think it really matters. I wasn't shocked by, some of this reading is so dense that I'm not sure if it really makes any difference. It all seems useful to me. I think that, and again, this is possibly irrelevant to this class, but this, I thought it was an illustrative of, like you talked about the bridges. The focus in this one, which of course we're not supposed to be reading, how much the focus is on concentration. And whereas Kiriyanda is really describes it as like when you get into the meditative state, you get sort of beyond concentration. So it was these anyway. But I think, you know, in the end, I think what I, in terms of all this discussions, you know, of today, and there was a little bit of discussion about, you know, for me, this is a little bit, what's coming to me is like, I'm so used to being in the story. I'm so used to sort of like doing lots of self-reflection, lots of sort of analysis, lots of working through the issues and recognizing the issues. And some of that, you know, comes from a lot of, from having been in 12-step for a long, long time, which makes significant, it's interesting. It makes a lot of reference to prayer and meditation. Which is the primary, it's the underlying reason why, you know, I ended up hooking up with you, Karen. And so it's like all of that stuff is, as I think you have said, it's all very useful. But this is, so, it's for me, this is like turning around an aircraft carrier. I'm so intuitive. I'm so like, you know, I've done the this and the inventory and I'm just so cognizant of my story and I'm so perceptive and isn't that great? Well, yes, sort of. It's like now I'm saying, well, yeah, I'm so happy for you that you understand yourself so well. But it's like today, the further I understand this stuff, the worse it is. And so in other words, I'm sick. Well, I don't mean it quite like that. That's how, sorry, you're just, I'm exaggerating, but this is such a different way of looking at it and turning this aircraft carrier around, getting out of this story that, yes, I understand the story. It's the thoughts, the story.
Right.
But even with this horrifying book of sinew and tenu and I don't know. It's just, I'm kind of babbling, but it's like, anyway, I'll shut up.
Well, you've said a lot, and what you said was really important because it brought me to the realization that, yeah, we want this book. Okay. Bottom line, this is so much gentler. And this really is just, now I'm understanding Lisa saying, oh my God, it's all these rules. I don't want any part of it. Oh my God, my God. All right.
Yeah.
So now we know we are going to laugh about this through the whole thing. And there's going to be some real good that's come out of it. We've already heard some of it. So here's what let's do for next week. Could you get this book?
Yes.
Did you get this book? And if anybody is, if it's a financial thing, let me know and I will send it to you. Okay. Or you can come by my house and pick it up. But let's get to this book. Cause you guys, this is going to be an easy read. I can't wait to go see what you were reading. I'll probably shit my pants, but it's like stuff I would never have been teaching you. Right. This is easy. And it's more general guideline, but it is good stuff to know. So let's go back to this. And for this week, my homework is to read all the chapters you've already read and other books so I can correct any misperceptions. But for this week, actually, all I was going to ask you to do was to look at the readings you've done. Please don't take it out of the four foundations unless it really spoke to you. But if you were just at this point of your practice, at this point of this course, if you were to take the thoughts that you've been exposed to, the things you've read that have meant the most to you, and come up with 12, what 12 thoughts or points do you think are the most important of what you've read or that just resonated with you? And I don't want a paper on this. I want one. Sit facing east in the morning. That rocked my world. 2, don't eat before meditating. 3, attachment is a distraction that's going to bring suffering. I'm talking little things like that. Okay. Does that make sense? And if you can get this book, let's catch up. Let's all try and get onto the same page. I think how many pictures? There's actually quite a few chapters, 1, 2, 4, 6, 10, and 12. But I think that really ultimately would be like an hour and a half of reading, an hour and 45 minutes. So let's make that. Let's catch up with this book this week. That's our homework. And between the two, come up with your 12, your top 12 that you could want to come back and share with us next week.
I just ordered it and it's not going to be here for a week.
Really? I might have an extra copy, Lisa. Let me see if I've got an extra copy. Who said
don't have like special shipping or anything?
Okay.
Amazon Prime should make it go pretty quick, but yeah.
Okay, Lisa, let's talk afterwards. Let me see if we can get you a copy before the week. Okay. Anybody else going to have trouble getting it?
Well, I'll try afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I'll let you know if I can't, but.
Yeah, let me know if you can't get it and I'll work it out. Okay.
And this says 1, 2, 4, and 6 was week 2 and then 10 and 13 was this last couple weeks. Is that right?
That's what I got.
Okay.
That's what I've been working up in my book. That's what I've been.
I must have wrote down that chapter 5 was in week 2. That was death and impermanence. So I must have gotten that wrong, but. I know about that.
Now you know about
that. I had chapter 5 too.
Oh, you did too?
Yeah, I read it too. So I don't know.
Oh, really? Good Lord. Good Lord. You guys just wanted this to be an advanced class. That's all there is.
April?
Yeah.
If you can just look at your chat, I just sent you my number. If we could hook up for some pads, maybe. I just chatted you my phone number.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, if anybody else wants to look at the cushions and stuff, let April know, because it's nice to sometimes have more than one person at a time, because it helps. So, okay, there was no chapter 5 assigned, guys. It was 1, 3, 4, and 6 in Kriyananda. And so.
Okay, good. See, that was making me go crazy. I was like, I did not read that. And then, but I told you, Karen, I read a different chapter because I was just in the chronological order. And went, yeah. Oh, whoops, I wasn't supposed to read. I think it was chapter 3 or whatever, the one on clear conscience or whatever. So, yeah.
And Karen, just a quick word. You can actually get it on Amazon very quickly. But if you want, usually when you buy the paperback, they allow you to start reading the Kindle version before it comes to you. So If you decide, sometimes they'll say, if you purchase a book, would you like to start reading it? If you have the Kindle app, it'll allow you to download it. You can start reading it. And then when the book comes, you can just catch up.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Ramon.
Sure. All right.
Okay.
So I was thinking the library could be a good option if you wanted to borrow it while you wait for a permanent copy to get here. But I don't know if the library has it or not. But.
All right. Well, let's, I want to get you out of here on time today. Well, we had a fun day. Clarity just opened up and it all made sense. Cause literally, Ramon, I was looking through going, where did he mention aggregates? And I wasn't finding it. And I figured I must have, you know, I missed it somehow.
All right. No worries.
All right. Well, with that fun adventure under our belts, we will get this. And truly, I would not, if I was going to have you have two books by any author, it wouldn't be these, but that's okay. We're going to make this work. We're going to make this work. And let's find our seat. Let's find our seat. And if you are in a chair, you know what that means, to bring your attention to your bottom, but also to the soles of your feet, to make sure that your legs are comfortably. So in other words, you're not sitting spread eagle. Your legs are together. Your palms are on your lap or held in front of you like April and Agnieszka were showing earlier. That's either one is fine. We'll do mudras later, a little later on. And for those of us sitting on the floor, see if you can just kind of rock back and forth on your pelvis so that you really find that posture where the curve in your lower back is alive and soft. And there's an alertness. There's a steady, stable alertness to your posture. And let's just gently roll the shoulders back. Open up that chest, bring the shoulder blades together, whatever, you know, whichever instruction works best for you. But we want the chest feeling lifted and open. The back of the head is lifted up towards the ceiling, which gently stretches the back of the neck. Easily lowers the chin. So it's gently tucked. Gently tucked. And take just a moment now to bring a precious sense of stillness to your entire body. And let your attention lift up into the heart center. Inhaling, feeling the chest open. Exhaling, softening to that openness. And let's chant our Om Shanti mantra together. Inhale. Om Shanti. To each other. Shanti. Now send it to your family and to your community. Shanti. Have a beautiful week, dear ones. Thank you for finding the humor. Let's move forward and see where we go. Our course is now taking its own direction. See you next weekend.
Thank you, Karen.
Namaste. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye,
everyone.
Lisa, stick. What? Let me get you the book.
Well, it said it will be here, but like the 15th.
And is that with Amazon Prime? Was that with free shipping?
I don't have Prime. No, I don't have Prime.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me see if my husband has Prime. So let me see if I can find it and get it to you. Oh, wait, here's Amazon right here. Nope, that's not it. Hang on. Okay, it is called Mindfulness in Plain in English, right?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Okay, Mindfulness in Plain English. Here it is. And I can get it to you to tomorrow. So let me have it shipped to your address and you cancel your order, okay?
Okay.
Let's do that. Just give me a minute to get your address in here.
Oh, do you want it in the chat or no? Just tell me.
What I'm going to
do. I can just tell you.
Oh, do you have it in the chat?
No, I didn't put it in the chat.
Yeah, no, just tell it to me. Let me just add a new address here. Okay, so it's two. Full name is. Oh, shoot, hold on. It just disappeared. Nope. Give me just a second. It's moving a little slow. Let's try it again. Add a new address. Full name. Lisa Sawyer. Okay, and your address is?
22276 South.
22276.
Yeah, three twos. South Lower Highland Road.
And that's in Beaver Creek?
Yeah, 97004.
Okay, I'm going to use that address. Oh, phone number. They're going to want a phone number. What do you got?
503-709-5184.
503-709-5184.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go. It says it should be delivered, maybe even tomorrow. It's looking like.
That is so weird. That's like they're at my mailbox waiting for me to answer already. It's just so weird.
Okay. Am I in my wrong? You don't need to stay on for this. It's needy. It's wanting me to verify my card, which means I need to go grab it to enter.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. So, all right.
Well, thank you very much. This has been very interesting.